Grab a cold one.
Grab yourself a cold one. Let's head over to the railroad tracks and get a view of the football game here. Walking past Nylander Auto Parts with Steve Wigg.
Yes, indeed. Negaunee Miners football game.
It's a nice night for football.
It's a gorgeous, it's crisp, as the word's been used many times today, crisp. And I love the crisp. So you want to hit the tracks?
Yeah.
Okay, if we go down this street, I spent countless hours on this street because my grandma, Siri, lived down on the end of the block. And this is where I would trick-or-treat when I was growing up.
Okay, so you spent a lot of time right here.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're on, what, Victoria and Water in Negaunee. And vivid memories. Some of my favorite Halloween memories of my life on this street. I think I spent like every Halloween here. I spent a couple earlier Halloweens in Palmer.
You remember what you dressed up as?
I know I was the Hunchback of Notre Dame one year. I would be probably a lot of Star Wars. This is my grandma's house right here. She's gone, but yeah, a lot of time sitting on that porch and in this two-lane driveway. We'd do like races on our bikes. Yeah, me and my brothers would do races down that driveway. Time hanging out in the alley and stuff. And then we would always come across and get onto the tracks. So I think you can get down from down there and then over here as well. I don't know if there's one.
Okay.
Do you know which spot might be good? I'm thinking that one you can just go straight up.
Yeah, let's try that one.
So to be back here in the fall, you know, in this location, a Miners football game, grandma's house, crisp fall air, is pretty invigorating. Because I'm usually here in the summer, like July or August, and then sometimes in the winter around the holidays. Okay, so now we're encountering some brush.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Was that the Negaunee Historical Building or something?
I think so, yeah. I'm not sure.
For the listeners out there, we're Pod Dan is lost.
We're looking for a path to the railroad tracks to get to, so we can view the football game from the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
And that there must be some, there's one around here somewhere.
Yeah. It's a lot more grown in than it was when I was here. We might have hope. I think we got something.
There it is. A clear path up a little bit of an incline, a little rocky. Tracks. You can hear the highway.
That intersection up there is where one of the opening scenes in the script is, of where we meet Craig and Anthony. And I think
okay.
They're picking up Summer Great. Teeth at in Sitco's parking lot.
Okay, I'm looking. I can see Sitco. I can see Holiday and Teal Lake off in the distance.
Yeah, I think Summer Teeth is coming out of the Sitco. And I think they're pulled up just next to the pasty shop. Yeah, I spent a lot of time on these tracks back in the day, too.
You can hear the drums from the Negaunee band off in the distance. It's a good crowd of people.
Yeah, it was full. The stands were full. Yeah, we would always, you know, go over to the playground area, and that's where all the excitement would be for us. And I played football, I think, in middle school, maybe like 1 or 2 years of high school, but not in my, you know, junior or varsity years.
Okay.
So I do remember playing on this field. That's a good spot.
There's a good view, yeah.
I do remember playing on this field, but I think as I was going through later years in high school, it was more about music and mischief.
Negaunee, 0 for Gladstone. thought Goofus stood up here occasionally, but I haven't heard him yelling.
He called the radio station today.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Just as I finished up, he called.
What was it, just a Nagani update? Or?
No, he wanted to talk to me.
But I see.
I was off the air. Because he knows my mom. And as I was getting in the car, they came out and said, "Hey, Goofus just called for you." He said, "I want to say, hey, congratulations."
Nice.
And I said, "He's in the script." And then they said, "Of course he is." Well, he's in the book. I think it's kind of a similar thing. It's, Goofus being Goofus.
Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you spent a lot of time on the tracks here?
I would stay at my grandma's house, and so there were some days where I would walk to school, up, you know, to Nagani High School up there, and I preferred to walk on the tracks. I just thought it was like it was a cool walk, you know, the walk we just did to my grandma's there, just kind of walk that way towards the school or cut across the football field and stuff. Great memories of being in town and stuff, like really, especially like in the, you know, that sense memory of like the weather, you know, right now, this kind of weather and stuff that's like, you know, start of the school year, it's like everything's kind of fresh, you know, you've got your new shoes and your...
Is it bringing back some memories?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And Halloween memories too, like I was saying, it was like Halloween was... That's like my favorite holiday. Well, that and Christmas.
You remember what music you were into when you were back in high school?
In high school, yeah, I was, let's see, that was like 80. I was into Metallica pretty heavily by high school. I started to kind of get into heavy metal stuff when I was in the middle school. It was about like 80. 85, 86, 87, somewhere in there that I was discovering it. A neighbor of mine, Pat Dunn, had, you know, I played baseball with him. He was my neighbor over, you know, in Nagani Township. And we'd play catch or like practice baseball together out, you know, because we didn't live in town. So you find people to do your thing with. He would just have all these tapes, and he had like older sisters who were like into Ozzy and stuff. And then he would like, you know, he would just, we'd be playing and he would be like, he'd put Ozzy in or he'd put, you know, something in. I remember it was like, yeah, that's good and stuff. You know, it's like, it's metal and whatever. It's cool. You know, like I was just kind of this impressionable kid. And then I remember vividly and very distinctly hearing this one album that really stood out to me. And it was like, now this is different and cool. And I like this. And maybe about a year or so later, it rang a bell, no pun intended, because literally I remembered it because of the bell sound. And it wasn't Hell's Bells, it was For Whom the Bell Tolls. And he had been playing Ride the Lightning. And I didn't know who it was or what, but I was just like, that one with the bell. And, you know, like I remember sitting with him in his bedroom going like, what's that one with the bell? And then he played me like Hell's Bells, and I was like, no, it's not that. He's
no,
like, oh,
no.
Wait a second, let me check. And he pulls out this old, you know, dubbed tape, you know, probably, it wasn't even like no cover or anything. It was just like, you know, maybe it had an M on it or something. It was like, you know, he's like, that's it, For Whom the Bell Tolls. And then it all went downhill from there. And then I kind of got into some other bands and stuff and other kinds of, you know, the metal, and explored like some punk stuff. And I liked the Misfits a lot. What else did I like?
Yeah, I think Metallica covered some Misfits songs.
You're right. That was my exposure to them, like most people. In 1987, they did the Last Caress, Green Hell. And that was my exposure to them, of like, whoa, like this melodic stuff, you know. And then I heard them, and I remember just being totally taken away by Glenn Danzig's vocals and the rawness of the music and stuff. Faith No More, I liked a lot in high school too. They were another band that stood out. It's like I couldn't put my finger on it. They were like nothing else.
Yeah.
And that's always been something that's been attractive
to me. No, with Epic or before that? With
yeah, it was Epic. That was like 89, I think, is when that came out. So that would have been, junior in high school. So, yeah, I just remember that vividly as one of those like, now this is like nothing else, and that's what I was attracted to about the early Metallica stuff. It was like, this is nothing, like nothing else. Nobody sounds like these guys. And that has applied to my taste in art throughout my entire life, from when I was a little kid to now. Like, you know, the UP book is pretty off the wall, but there's something I like about that. You know, I like that black sheep kind of thing. I'm attracted to that. We're talking about, you know, Rich Hill, who we should talk to sometime. He was like Negani's middle finger.
Yeah.
And I'd go over to his place and like just look at his albums and just be like, what is this band like? And oh, what's, you know, Sid Vicious and what's he doing with this? And tell me more about Public Image Limited and Johnny Rotten. What's this band like? And he'd be like, you know, check these guys out.
Well, it looks like Negani's got this game.
I think so. 28-0, 11-36, fourth quarter. People are still hanging in there. We're going to buzz up to Congress in a little bit.
So a pretty warm welcome home so far?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I hope we're on the right track. Feels that way. I think it feels like... I mean, I think... And I'm seeming to get some of the feedback that I think people are somewhat reassured knowing that I'm from here and knowing the things that I've been affiliated with, creatively speaking, whether it was, or professionally speaking, whether it was like, you know, the stuff, music and Metallica and film stuff and the films that I've done, that I at least strive for a certain level of integrity and credibility, and that it's, you know, that there's got to be something right about, you know, what I'm doing. I've said that to myself sometimes, you know. I think there was one year, it was like, I don't know, it was a big award year, maybe it was the year of milk or something like that. I just sort of was like, you know, if I've managed to do one thing, it's affiliate myself with successful, you know, people in these businesses. And I'm excited to take a lot of what I've learned into some of my own territory and bring some of that back here. You know, I think I always, in the back of my head, there was a little bit of an idea of shooting a movie in Negani way back in my head somewhere. But it kind of feels like it's kind of like the right time with the way things have kind of, you know, progressed, professionally speaking. And you know, it just feels like it's a good time to do it. For everything from the Michigan film incentives to, you know, where the script is at, the book falling into my hands, where Ron is at in his life, where I'm at in my life, and what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. It seems like one of those things that the stars are kind of aligning themselves for something to happen, you know, like, and that's kind of it could be the scary thing, and it can also be like, the thrilling thing about it too, you know. It's like, because it, you know, it can be risky, and like they say, it's a bloodbath to get in the movie industry. It's, you know, it's like, it's a wonder that any films get made with all the resistance you encounter, but I'm ready to kind of get out there and fight the good fight for
and that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, you know, what we're gonna do is finish this book tour, and then you know, I insisted that we come to Negani again together. And like I said with Mark on the interview, on the radio, is, you know, let the Kudigi sweat penetrate the pages of that script. You know, like, you know, let it get in there, you know, like just breathe that crisp fall air in and just be here. And, you know, last time when I was home in a month ago in August, I went into Buck's Party Store and I got a scene out of it that is in the script now. It was just one of those moments. It was like, oh yeah. And you don't really realize those until you're sort of like back with those eyes and listening and looking and stuff like that. So a lot of where is not only about like getting out there and talking about this stuff, but getting out there and listening and looking and just taking a lot in before we go back to those pages and put the final touches in and the final threads. And from there, God only knows what will happen.
It's a pretty tough process. Are you accepting guidance or mentorship from any of your connections in the business?
Yes. At the same time, those are cards that you, for me, the way I operate, those are cards that I would choose to play wisely and not have my hand held the whole way, or even, you know, for many steps of the way. I do have great connection, incredible resources that I can access. I feel I could dial that phone when I need to, and they would answer, and they would give me some feedback or guidance. But a lot of this also is about me too, wanting to go through these challenges and walk through the fire in my own bare feet, and really learn from this, because I would like to do other, you know, there are other creative things that I want to do in my life as well. You know, and most of all, this project means so much to me. That's what's guiding me. It's also what I said to Mark in the booth is, you know, he's like, well, how do you handle those bad days, or when you do get a lot of rejection, or, you know, you deal with a lot of the BS of all of this? You know, I just say, if you're driven by something greater than yourself, you know, whatever that is, that thing that drives you, if you remain, and not, I'm not talking about money and power and things like that, but more like, you know, like soul and spirit, if you're driven by those things, that gets you through those less than perfect moments, and you know, keeps you on track.
The beer's gone, so the podcast's over. Catch you next time. Thanks for listening.